I would make a terrible scientist because I become so emotionally invested in individual people, animals, and places. When a bird I'm observing is a stranger, I can muster some scientific detachment. But if just about any vertebrate animal, be it a chipmunk or a neighborhood crow, makes physical or eye contact, well, I'm a goner. Pileated woodpeckers are special, so when I first discovered in November 2021 that a male pileated visiting my feeder bore a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service leg band, I was thrilled. But I loved him in that general way that I love most cool birds. If he had disappeared after a few visits, my heart would hardly have felt bruised. But he stuck around, appearing multiple times every day, and I took enough photos to work out the 9-digit band number. When I started calling him BB for banded boy, well, I was hopelessly in love. I saw BB in my yard virtually every day that winter, cementing my bond. In April 2022, I photographed him with a female and didn't see him much after that. I hoped they were nesting, but had no idea where. He started coming regularly again in the autumn, and in October I saw him in the yard a few times, close enough to other pileateds that they were probably his offspring. He was very tolerant of them, but I never saw him feeding them. In 2023, I know he successfully raised at least 4 babies, because on July 10th, he brought a young fledgling daughter to my yard, and a day or two later, he brought 2 daughters at the same time. Soon, there was a son, and then 2 sons at the same time. I was thrilled. As the young birds grew independent and I could no longer recognize them, they became regular old pileated woodpeckers. But BB was still my BB. In January 2024, when I saw BB with a female, I assumed she was his mate from the previous year. I was gone for a while in April, and when I returned at the end of the month, there was a dead pileated directly below a large horizontal limb of my neighbor's maple tree, where I've seen both hawks and owls perched. The legs were intact, and I felt enormous relief that there was no band. The head was missing, suggesting an owl was the killer, but without the head, I couldn't determine the bird's sex. It could have been one of BB's young from a previous year, but in retrospect, I wonder if it hadn't been his original mate. I saw BB a lot that summer, more than I should have had he been busy with a nest and young. Losing a mate in late April, it would have been difficult for him to find a new mate, and a pileated of either sex would have trouble raising a whole brood as a single parent. This year, all bets were off after a Cooper's hawk showed up on January 24th and BB disappeared. I know that as an experienced adult living in my neighborhood under Hawk Ridge, BB must have dealt with predators many times, but week after week without any sign of him, it grew increasingly difficult not to fear the worst. It wasn't until May 31st that I saw him again. I'm always happy to see a pileated woodpecker, but my elation this time was orders of magnitude greater. Throughout June, BB regularly appeared in early morning and before dusk, and more rarely in the middle of the day, a schedule suggesting that he was probably nesting. Male pileateds have night duty, incubating eggs and brooding tiny nestlings. Producing and sharing body heat burns a lot of calories, so a large, filling meal before and after that kind of work is important. But nestling pileateds need protein in the form of insects and will weigh almost as much as their parents when they first leave the nest, so BB must have been spending the largest part of each day searching for food for those hungry mouths. Meanwhile, I've been inundated with starlings this year. Even before they took over the red-headed woodpecker nest I was following, I let one suet feeder go dry. Starlings do not need subsidies. And I started bringing BB's feeder into the house after his morning meal. I'd bring it out again in late afternoon after the starlings were pretty much gone for the day. But 2 weeks ago at lunchtime, I glanced out the back window and saw BB trying to feed at that empty feeder. I grabbed his favorite feeder, opened the back door, and said, "Hey, BB." As I carried his feeder to where he expected it, he flew to the box elder by the driveway right close to me. He was looking directly at me when I said, "Here you go." And before I could get into the house, he was pigging out. The next day, I heard him call from the box elder by our driveway, so I ran downstairs, grabbed the feeder, and ran outside, whistling and calling up to him, and yep, in he flew. Russ was home for lunch and witnessed the whole thing from the kitchen window. Twice since then, when BB called, I ran out with the feeder and in he flew. He must recognize me, if not as a friend, as something benign and associated with easy meals. On July 14th, when he showed up about 9:45, he yelled, I brought out the feeder, and whoa! He wasn't alone. He'd brought his daughter. I got a bunch of cool photos, which are on today's blog post. The whole time, Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky kept popping into my head. For the duration, I'll be keeping watch each day, pretending to make scientific observations about pileated woodpecker natural history. But I already know two things for certain. This year, BB's nest was successful, and I don't care if I lack the calm detachment of a scientist. The voice in my brain is still yelling at top volume, "Oh, frabjous day, Kalu Calais." I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.